Now I'd like to introduce our speakers for this morning. All of you know Oral Miller. He's on our board of directors for ACB. He was formerly our national representative. He has been president of ACB. He is currently president of DC Council and very active in the blind sports community, which he will talk to you about. I'm also very pleased to introduce Jerry Kors. I've known Oral for a long time, and I've also known Jerry for several years. I was introduced to Jerry at her awesome water aerobics class back in, I think it was Houston. So ever since then, I try not to miss it. So Oral and Jerry, the floor is all yours.
Good morning, students.
Good morning.
Actually, I must say in all sincerity that by inviting me here this morning, you have inspired me to review my own status and conditioning program, if you want to call it that. And that has perhaps, hopefully, caused me to maybe recommit myself a bit more in that direction. It is a special pleasure indeed to speak to my fellow teachers. Now, I know many people may say, fellow teachers? How does this guy claim to be a teacher? Well, I read a section in your bylaws the other day, thanks to your excellent magazine, which said that people who have taught in, I think it said, established educational programs or something like that, are eligible for membership. And I was just checking with your treasurer also to see about membership for former teachers. And that means I can call on those two semesters I did teach. When I taught economics for two semesters at an extension of the University of Kentucky while I was preparing to take the bar examination. Now, why didn't I stay in teaching? Well, I was done in by several things. One was that requirement to grade papers. So some say I took the easy out by taking the bar examination and entering into the practice of law. Now, that has its interesting aspects too. For example, the last two clients I ever dealt with before making a major move in that field a number of years back was when I was contacted by two attractive young women who said, "We have a problem." I said, "What is your problem?" They said, "We're both married to the same man." So you see, there are interesting aspects in all these professions. Actually, I was preparing for the bar examination while taking part in my teaching activities. Those things were done when I was considerably younger and, yes, considerably more fit than now. It's not unusual for a person to become a bit more sedentary as the years slide by. And also after a person passes the age of 39. I'll use that as a good, young, arbitrary age. You may be interested to know, however, that in the current issue of the major publication of the AARP, which itself requires you to be at least 50 in order to be a member of that illustrious organization, AARP listed the 9 reasons for starting and staying in a fitness program. They are: you live longer, it improves your memory. Now let me see, how many did I say there are? 9? Yes. Yes, the second one is it improves your memory. It enables you to heal faster. It boosts your immunity. It makes you more creative, or as the article referred to it, it puts you in touch with your inner Picasso. It enables you to be pain-free. It increases your sexual function. It makes you more able to pick up your grandchildren and save money. Those are the nine important reasons. There's no single right program for everyone when it comes to a program of physical activity. And since your theme is don't just sit, be fit, people are naturally thinking of what activity would be the right one. There is no single one, but almost all the programs do have a number of common characteristics, both good and in some cases not exactly. For example, one characteristic that almost all programs have is that they're very difficult to get started in.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to get started. In fact, in many cases, that's the hardest part of the program. And naturally, it's important to continue. And yes, there are reasons and excuses that abound for not getting started and not continuing. There are a number of myths in the field. Also, some would call them excuses or reasons or whatever. Such things as, well, I just really don't have the time. I don't have the equipment. I don't have access to equipment. And, well, it's not really necessary for me to get in better shape or to lose weight or anything like that because I already feel fine and very comfortable. Well, it is our responsibility to attempt to improve our condition, whatever that condition may be. And in many cases, we're not as aware of what it is until we start looking at it a little more carefully. I'm not going to attempt to go into any physiological explanation regarding fat cells and things like that. But in this connection, I would suggest that if you are interested, you might look at a book that was listed in the Braille Forum a couple of months ago. For lack of a better name, since it has two or three names written on it, it's called Out of Sight. It's by a blind trainer in New Jersey named Robert Coppingen. And I'll mention up front, no, ACB has no interest in selling this book or anything like that. I have no interest in selling, promoting it, or whatever. But it is an interesting book. And I'll point out also that it does contain some interesting Braille and punctuation. Right, Jerry?
Right. I looked at it.
Yes. But the gentleman is a blind trainer, and it does have a number of excellent points in it, and it's especially helpful. And there are other books too. We're certainly not touting this one. There are others that give the outline of a physical activity program. And no, I don't agree with everything that's in this particular book. And this is based on my own experience involving participation in a number of athletic programs going all the way back to my days in high school and college, and a number of activities over the years after that. And those activities have included involvement in the American Blind Bowling Association for many years, involvement in the establishment of and promotion of the Ski for Light program, the establishment and operation of the U.S. Association of Blind Athletes and the international aspects of that through the International Blind Sports Association and others. So there are, again, a number of excellent points in there from the point of view of a trainer. And no, we're not going to be talking about a complete training program. And what I'm talking about today certainly is not an athletic training program of the type you would do if you were going to run a marathon race or do a weightlifting contest or something like that. One interesting point that most people agree on when you're talking about getting involved in any sort of program is start by cleansing the system. And it's pretty well a descriptive title, which means giving your body a number of days to get rid of the bad effects, if you want to call them that, of, oh, for example, all the greasy things you've been eating, you know, the fast foods, the extra sugar that's in the ice cream, the extra calories and the extra fat and so forth. This process, I would say, is connected with tracking and at the same time maybe slimming your diet, especially from carbohydrates. Now, I'll mention at this point that when I say slimming your diet from carbohydrates does not necessarily mean that loss of weight is your prime objective or your only objective. That's one objective, but it's not the only one. And it might not even be an objective in many cases either. Your weight may be perfectly okay. There are other benefits you can get. The experts usually say watch for several things when you're tracking your diet at the beginning. When you're looking at your own performance, you look out for eating the wrong things, eating too much. What's this man saying anyway? Eating too fast, eating too late at night. I guess we're all guilty of that occasionally, and of course snacking. Before starting any type of exercise program, it's obviously important to check with your doctor to make sure that you are physically able to do that. And if there are any injuries, so-called injuries as you go along, you would want to keep these in mind and exercise around those. In other words, if you have something that's bothering one arm or something like that, you wouldn't do exercises that would inflame that or aggravate that situation. At the same time, that wouldn't keep you from doing exercises that would perhaps help your legs or your back or your lower back or whatever. Now, some of you are probably pleased to hear this morning. No, we're not going to be flopping on the floor and doing exercises this morning. Now, I was asked about that beforehand by one teacher who said, "Don't you expect me to get down on the floor in my good dress that I'm wearing to church after I leave here to do exercises?" So we're not going to do jumping jacks this morning or push-ups or any of those things. But what I am going to say is, on Tuesday afternoon in the recreation zone hour, and look in the program to see exactly where that's going to be, there will be a few exercises that will do some of the things we're going to be talking about here. So then it's not going to be a heavy workout time, no. It's going to be simply an introduction to a few of these exercises. At that time, of course, you can come dressed appropriately and ready otherwise to take part in some of these things. We're very lucky to have with us Geraldine Jerry Coors to tell us about one great activity, that's both good for you, great fun, and, has a lot of social advantages to it also. The easiest program to enter into for activity, since it's hard to get started and hard to give it up, is one usually that involves somebody else. You know, a partner in crime, somebody else who is doing it, somebody who can share in the experience. And, of course, if you have access to equipment, and I'm not talking about the heavy workout equipment, but exercise equipment, that, of course, is a plus. That's good. Such as a bicycle, such as a treadmill, such as a cross-country skiing machine, or also a rowing machine. And the reason I said rowing with so much enthusiasm there is, yes, it has many of the advantages of some of the others, but it also involves one aspect that's not quite so pronounced in the others, and that is involves a lot of bending. A lot of bending in the middle, bending at the waist. Any program you do will start with some warming up activity. This is just to get the blood flowing, to get the circulation going. And in many cases, that may be the primary activity that you're going to take part in. And warming up can be a very simple thing. It can simply, it can be as simple as walking in place. Walking in place for several minutes, and of course you can pick up the pace as you go. Frequently when I fly on a long airplane trip, I don't try to get up and walk around the airplane very much because you all know how crowded it is, how many other people are up walking around. What I frequently do is go to the back of the airplane, find a corner, stand in the corner, and walk in place for a long time. And get the benefit of walking around. At the same time, I'm not attempting to go through the airplane and exchange elbows with the others, block the aisles, and so forth. Yeah. Now, after warming up, to get the blood flowing and so forth, I'm going to mention a couple of exercises, just a couple that will give you a quick idea for toning up the muscles. And the toning up isn't building up muscles to be strong, to do weightlifting or anything like that. Simply giving them some tone, giving them some body, and so forth. And the first simple one I'm going to refer to is what's referred to in many books as simply doing the squats. This is for the big muscles of the body, namely the legs, the upper legs. And the squat is, it's a very simple, cut-down version of what the gentlemen in the crowd will probably remember, and maybe the ladies also, in your gym days and so forth, as the deep knee bend. This is a simplified version of that. It's not going all the way down. It's first of all, having your arms out in front of you for balance, not putting them on the hips, you know, the way you did when you were in gym class. Putting your arms out in front of you, having your feet well apart, and simply bending at the knees down to the point where your thighs are approximately parallel with the ground. And do this perhaps 10 or 15 times. It's easy enough, but at the same time, it gets those muscles started working. The next one for introducing a large muscle, getting a large muscle working, this involves the upper body, the chest, and so forth. No, it's not a push-up yet. That's one that can come later. But in this one, you simply start with your feet planted in a wide enough position. Simply start by bending forward at the waist, and at the same time, you flex your arms at the elbow. The same as if you would pull them up when, as a youngster, they used to say, all right, make a muscle. You pull them up at the elbow, and when you pull with your hand up towards your shoulder, then you attempt to move your elbows back behind you as if you're going to try to touch elbows. Well, of course, you won't be able to touch your elbows back there in that position, but in the process, you stretch the muscles of the chest, the muscles of the shoulders, and at the same time, you put a little bit of tension on the arms to tighten those muscles. Now, third one, and perhaps the most difficult one I'm going to talk about, is a simple exercise for the stomach muscles. On this, you start, this is one of those where the lady said she wasn't going to sit down or lie down on the floor with her Sunday go-to meeting clothes on. On this, you start lying on your back with your hands behind your head, simply to hold them there, and you lift your legs. And this time it's okay to bend them at the knees. You remember when you were in training or strict gym work years ago, they said don't bend the knees, keep them straight. This time it's okay to bend them, and even it's okay to cross the ankles. And you do this to make it a bit easier, but at the same time then you lift your shoulders and the upper body up off the floor. And this puts enough tension on the stomach without giving the stomach muscles, without at the same time giving that very definite hard pull that it would if you were doing it just with your legs perfectly straight, or even with your hands under your body to raise your body up a little bit off the floor. Now, these are three just simple exercises there: the legs, the upper body, and the stomach. And whatever you're doing, it's a good idea to finish with more of that sort of warming up moving exercise I referred to above. You remember the walking in place or something like that? Because what this does in this case is simply slow you back down. It does it at the same time by helping the circulation. Now, by referring to these things, I haven't even scratched the surface as to activities that any training program would tell you about. It's great, it's good if you can join almost any sort of exercise program or sport program, whether it be swimming, bowling, it doesn't have to be a super aerobic activity. It might be bicycle riding, might be walking, could be skiing, could be rowing, and many other activities. The point is, a physical activity program that has you doing something. We're lucky, as we've all agreed, I think, earlier, to have our own water aerobics expert with us. This is a certified water aerobics instructor. And you're going to have an opportunity to join her on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And I'm going to suggest to you right now that that would be a great exercise, a great thing for you to do, because not only is it a great exercise, but it's fun. And it is my pleasure then to share part of this morning with our own little Mighty Mike from Indianapolis, Jerry Coors. And her husband was here, but he had to go to another meeting. And I'll mention to you, if you take part, usually you would see husband Don. He might not be able to do it this week, but you usually see him patrolling the edge of the pool. And he assured me that he does that to make sure that over-enthusiastic teenagers don't run and jump in the pool while the aerobics activities are going on. He said also just to make sure that some overly enthusiastic guide dog didn't decide to go jump in the water also. So, it's my pleasure to introduce Jerry, who will tell you all about water aerobics.
Jerry, good morning. I'm very happy to be here. And before I forget, I'm going to have to add one thing. He told you about the exercise, getting down on the floor on your back and lifting the shoulders. Well, I've got one too. Not only do I do water aerobics, but I also do light yoga, which is also very good. Very good for the posture, very good for the spine, very good for the arms and the legs and bending the knees. My knees don't bend like they used to. I would not be able to do the squats like he talked about. But one of the things that we do on the back is what we call the bridge pose. And instead of raising your shoulders, you lie on your back, bend your knees, put your feet on the floor as close to the hips as you can, that's comfortable, and arms down beside your body. And then that gives you support, and raise the pelvis and the back gradually from the pelvis to as close to the shoulders as you can get. We call it the bridge pose. Raise yourself up in the middle and hold it, say count of 5, count of 10, and back down. That's a good back exercise to strengthen and keep the back going. But now to the water aerobics. I got involved in it probably a good 12 years ago. Up to that point, I was busy raising 7 children. And I got plenty of exercise keeping track of them. But, you know, we're all guilty of, you say you're going to do an exercise and this, that, and the other. But unless you do it with a group of people, it's harder to stay with it. It's very easy to say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to get down and exercise every day. At home by yourself, if you do it, you've got a heck of a lot of willpower. And you know, much more than I had. I didn't do it. But my daughter talked me into going over to the nearby club and doing water aerobics. So I went over there with her, and the funny part was that I got into it, and then she quit. But she had a good reason. She couldn't continue it at that point for medical reasons. But fortunately, I knew one of the teachers, at least, got acquainted with the second one very fast. And there were two or three people in the class who knew me also from church and school. And so it was easier, you know, easy for me to get into it. They were very willing to come pick me up and take me back home. So it's a matter, sometimes it's a matter of knowing friends who will take you and take you back home. And by knowing the teacher, it was easy for me to get involved in it because she knew me, and our two of our daughters had swam on a swim team together. And so, you know, she wasn't afraid to have this blind lady in her class. It didn't faze her at all. If I didn't understand what she said to do, I'd just sort of smile at her and go, "Run that by me again." And, or, "What do you mean, here?" And of course, she knew, you know, kind of, you know, sometimes when people say, you know, "Raise your arms here." Yeah. And you go, "Yeah, where's here?" And, and then, you know, then she'd come over and show me. And she got to the point where she knew I wasn't going to quite figure it out. And so she'd just say, "Wait a minute, now let me show you." And so it was very easy. Now, occasionally you run into a situation where the teacher isn't quite in tune with that sort of thing. You know, it can make you feel a little uncomfortable. I've been there and done that too, because when our pool was closed one time, we went over to the Jewish Community Center pool, and the teacher that morning paid absolutely no attention to whether I knew what was going on or not. Fortunately, one of the people in the class who didn't know me, she would show me what we were supposed to do. So it works out. Sometimes you have to be a little aggressive in the sense that you have to just speak up and ask. But there are so many water aerobics and other programs in your communities. The Y has a lot of them, and other clubs. They have warm water aerobics for people with arthritis. Many times arthritic people can't handle the cooler water, and it gives them cramps in their legs. And so they want, you know, warm water. It's much easier for them. Some of the benefits of water aerobics are the fact that, you know, it's wonderful for arthritis. It's wonderful for osteoporosis people like me. It's wonderful for helping therapy for once you've gotten cast off from healing bones, to help you regain complete use of your arm or leg or whatever you broke. And you can do things in the water that you can't do on land because you don't have the buoyancy in the water that you have on land. You can accomplish in 1 hour in the water what it would take you two on land. But at the same time, you need to do something of both, because the muscles need to remember that you have to do weight-bearing exercise as well as water exercise in order to keep those muscles strong. So one of the best things to do with water aerobics is walk. And I try to walk, my husband and I try to walk, especially during the summer when the weather's reasonable. We don't tend to do it in the wintertime when it's freezing, but we do it in the spring, in the summer, in the fall. Last night, we walked down to the landing and back just to get some exercise. And in water aerobics, you know, like I can do jumping jacks in the water, but I could never do them on land anymore because of my osteoporosis. And we would kill the back. But there, you know, you start out with warm-up exercises, and then you do harder things and do them faster to get the heart rate up. You want to give you some cardiovascular exercise and keep the blood flowing through the heart and the arteries and all that. And you do harder things to make your heart rate go up at least 20 to 30 points above the normal average of what your heart rate is. Now, of course, I can't, I don't have a second hand or anything, so I can't do the checking to see how high your heart rate has gone up when you've done a very strenuous exercise. One of my favorites, and if any of you have ever been to my class here, you'll know that I made you do corners. And that gets the heart rate up, believe me. Although I know one gal in our class who swears up and down it doesn't do a thing for her, but I haven't quite figured out why. But different things do affect people differently. And there are other things that might affect her that one doesn't, but it sure does me. I can get mine up 30 to 40 points above when I do corners, because I don't do them slow anyway. And I kind of got involved in the teaching end of it quite by accident. I don't know why I opened my big mouth, but I did. Sandy couldn't be there one day, and she didn't have a sub. Well, by this time, I had picked up a lot, and I knew a lot of what we were doing. And I said, oh, I can probably get us through this. You know, I can maybe do it one night. Well, I've been doing it ever since. I'm her permanent sub. When she can't be there for other commitments, guess who? Whether she's out of town or at some other kind of meeting, because she coaches a couple other sports. And if she's not there at the beginning, I go ahead and start warming up. Somebody said, are we going to do exercise this morning? And I said, no, but I could. I could make you guys stand up and stretch the arms above the head and raise your knees and do a few simple things, or even just sitting in the chair. As Oral said, Wednesday and Thursday I'll be teaching water aerobics. And of course, it is fun, and we talk about everything under the sun. The book, when I did my certification studies, the book said you weren't supposed to talk about politics, food, religion, and sex. What do we all talk about during water aerobics? Food! Especially! Not so much the rest of it, but food. Because somebody will say, well, have you tried such and such a restaurant? And, you concentrate, but you can still have a good time socializing in the process. And just pay attention when the teacher says to switch exercises and do this instead. And some people have said, well, how do you know if they're doing what you tell them? Since I can't see, of course, and I can't see a lick. And I just say, well, I don't. But if they aren't doing what I tell them to do, it's not hurting me. It's hurting them. They're not in competition with anybody. It's for their own benefit, not mine. And it's up to the, you know, the individual to follow the instructions. And if you don't follow the instructions, that's your loss, not mine. So, of course, we have fun with it. These gals have gotten to know me real well. And so one of them chatters like a magpie constantly. And so every once in a while, when I tell them to do an exercise, I'll go, Molly! Deep knees or front leg lifts, Molly. Yes, Jerry. So, you know, we have a good time. But, you know, the warm-ups, the hard stuff, and the cool down. And it's a good hour of exercise. And the nice part about it is that you can go back home and not be so exhausted that you can't go on and do other things. It doesn't wear you out to the point that you just got to sit down and rest for half an hour like some of the land exercises would. If you do, you know, aerobics, well, I call them land aerobics. Some of those things, if you did on land, my gosh, I'd wear me out in 5 minutes. But, you know, I can do it in the water for an hour and not faze me at all. But you do have to remember to do both. That's one of the important things. You do need to do both. And that's why I do light yoga and walk mainly. I do have a treadmill now, so on the days that I don't do water aerobics, I try to hit the treadmill for a few minutes. So I'm getting to, and on days when it's raining and you can't go outside and walk. So be sure and come join us Wednesday or Thursday at 5 o'clock upstairs in the pool. I hope the water won't be too hot. Now they don't make pools in the hotels deep anymore. If anybody is concerned about getting your hair wet or you're a little, don't want to be in water where you can't stand on the bottom, that's the nice part about it, because I don't like deep water either. You never have to be where you can't stand on the bottom of the pool. You can all, you know, it's, and the pool up there is only 4.5 feet deep at the most. And that seems to be, for anybody like Oro here, who's very tall, it makes arm exercises a little more difficult. He's gonna have to bend his knees in order to do the arm exercises as well as he should. But that won't kill him either. But I haven't seen him in my class yet. So, and all the years I've been doing this for him, he hasn't participated. I'm still trying to get him in the water.
Yes, teacher.
So I want to see you in there too.
Yes, ma'am.
Charlie Hodge got in February, so you should get in there.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's probably about all I have to say. If anybody has any questions or want to know anything else. Oh, one of the things they do recommend for water aerobics is what we call water shoes. And I wear them all the time. I'm not comfortable walking around barefooted in pool areas anymore. Maybe it's age, I'm not sure. But, you know, and let me tell you, there's an awful lot of senior citizens who do water aerobics. We've got a gal at Rivi who is 98 years old. And she still comes. Now, she doesn't do as much as she used to, but she still loves to get in that water. And there's another gal that's 89 that comes over and swims every day. So you're never too old to do it. And this is something that would be wonderful for senior citizens in retirement communities. They have found that this is something that they can do, and it really helps them to maintain a lot of things. keeps their body moving, and it keeps your muscles, your muscle tone good. And they do claim that it releases the endorphins in the brain. I know this teacher, when I first started, used to say this all the time. Releases your endorphins to keep your memory in place. Well, I've been releasing a heck of a lot of endorphins, and I still have senior moments, like earlier when I couldn't think of John Buckley's last name. I knew it was John, and I kept, John's here. John who? You know, some gal came through the door and said, I hear John Buckley. I went, that's it. So, I you know, it doesn't keep you from having those senior moments. But, and young people can do this too. I mean, if young people think that they don't need to exercise, that's when they need to start.
Jerry, how often do you do the water exercises?
I do it three nights a week. Three nights a week.
An hour at a time.
Yep. We have a program where you can do it in the evening or the morning, and we pay so much for a quarter, and then whatever your schedule is, if say you've got a meeting one evening and you can't go that night, you could go the next morning. They offer 4 mornings a week and 3 nights a week, and so you can mix it up. I mean, you go when you can, and so I try to get in 3 a week.
Any other questions for Oral or Jerry?
Do either of you know of a treadmill that is useful if you have knees that don't work right?
Not out of the ordinary treadmill, but you could walk on a treadmill at whatever pace you can. It wouldn't make any difference whether it was slower or faster. You know, if your doctor or, you know, somebody says it would help your knees to walk like that, you know, go for it, because you can set a treadmill at your own pace. You don't have to go at any certain pace on a treadmill.
Anybody know of an accessible treadmill?
Not exactly, but I have bought the ProForm treadmill, which has a place for a patch cord that you can patch in a CD or cassette player, or you can also hook it up to the sound output on a video player. And it's from a company called iFit. You can buy CDs that have a personal trainer, and the CD sends an electronic message to the treadmill so that it can speed it up as if a trainer were doing it, change the incline, so you can get a very structured workout. They sell it on the Home Shopping Network, but I bought mine at Sears, and then you can just go to iFit.com and they'll let you listen to a sample. No, they don't. I couldn't get that to work. But they have 3 levels of fitness, so I did that for a while until I got bored with Robin. I went to buy somebody else.
Yeah. My treadmill, it's an older model. My son gave it to me. He wanted to get rid of it. But it's very simple, because I told him, I said, I don't want it unless I can work it. But if you check out all the various treadmills, you can find one that'll work. Mine is very simple. You just put this little key in the thing and push a lever to the side, and it comes on, and you can just keep pushing the lever for as fast as you want it or as slow as you want it. You know, so it's you can get a very simple one that works like that you can do yourself.
If anybody joined Health Club, what's your experience?
Yes.
With being part of a gym or a health club?
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I just would say that I've been a member for 6 years now, and the trainers have been very good about showing me how to use the equipment.
Yeah.
just kept going.
And the elliptic machine, which moves sort of in a elliptic path, that might be better for your knees than, say, a treadmill, because it moves around. It's not...
It bends your knees.
It's much smoother, though. It's really smooth. It is good for your knees.
Yeah, yeah. But two of my daughters that are in exercise fitness, they have ellipticals.
I'm a member of a gym, and it's wonderful. This gentleman is the owner of the gym, is a graduate of Columbia University, so he majored in exercise science and got his degrees. But a lot of older people in town come, but a lot of handicapped people come too. I mean, he loves to get a brain traumatic injured person to move. So, you know, for somebody who can't see, you know, although we have a limited condition, it isn't as difficult as another might be. So it's pretty easy for them just to help us up to one of the machines and either show us how to set it up or help us set it up, whichever the case. But my problem is I don't get there as much as I should. So we've been members for years. Been good support.
Jerry?
Yes.
This is Sue Buckley. One of the things I might mention, if people are going to look at any kind of fitness equipment, especially treadmills, if they would want to try them out, go to like a fitness store.
Right.
Try it.
Right.
And so you could get comfortable with the cushion of the padding of the treadmill, but whether it has handles or not, because
exactly.
Some treadmills do not have handles
exactly.
Just in front of you. And yeah. To me, it makes me feel much more comfortable if the handles
they
come
extend
around
yes.
Towards
right.
The back a little bit, not all
yes.
The way to the back, but where you can hold on, you feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Get off quick.
Yeah. And let me just say, too, because that you need to
be sure
that you
can't change
yourself. I have a friend who owned a treadmill, and it malfunctioned, and she didn't have it on, and it might not have stopped anyway, but, you know, we just think, oh, I could get off, but you really can't, and she injured herself,
ooh.
So always wear that little
yeah,
key.
Yeah, those sort of handlebars.
I have a question, a couple questions, actually. But if you're a person that moving sidewalks in airports give you sea legs and you can't do treadmills and your equilibrium is just shot, you know, you just get dizzy all the time. Like me, I'm a cardiac rehab and they won't let me use the treadmill, but I do bikes. Do you know of any question or anything that could help to increase your equilibrium?
Light yoga. Light yoga. You do balancing exercises that you hold on to a chair if you need to. And I could show you a few things that I do that you could do, you know, on your own. With 'cause our teacher teaches us balancing. We do some little balancing things. You know, on the standing, on the feet. So you might want to look into some light yoga.
Is that the hatha yoga?
You don't want, I don't know what, you know, I've only been doing about a year and a half. A girlfriend got me into it with her. And she tells me that it has helped my posture. That my posture is, because of osteoporosis, I'm trying very hard to stay straight. And she said my posture with the light yoga has been, you know, much improved.
And the other question I had was, you were talking about cleansing the system, and right away what popped into my mind was these 30-day regimes where you take these things that cleanse out all the toxins. And I was wondering if they're good for you, bad for you. You hear them on infomercials. They sound pretty appealing when you think of all the things that we ingest and digest.
No, I don't take anything.
You can probably accomplish the same thing with a lot more natural products.
Right.
Such as pardon the directness, such as water and prune juice, and fruits, you know, perfectly natural fruits.
Fruits, vegetables.
Yeah.
You can accomplish the same thing with a just a, you know, nutritional diet rather than the pill popping.
Yeah, they say this thing will remove plaque from arteries.
Yeah.
Now the doing aerobic and heart exercises will help keep the plaque off, you know, along with the nutritional things that you eat.
Has anybody found a readout device that you can put on yourself? So that whether you're on a bicycle or a treadmill or whatever, it tells you when you've gotten your heart up 30.
Yes.
Yeah, most pedometers.
There is such a device.
Pedometers would have, some of them would suffice for.
There's one actually that's made for the heart, Janice.
Okay.
I have one at home. I can't tell you the name of it because. They've been around for a while.
Peter Duran, what did he do? Did he still do that? Well, I can't think of it either. I'd be very much interested in that too, knowing where you can get something as long as you're required.
Yeah, so that you can know when you've gotten there and don't exceed and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's one around that talks.
Well, could you let us know? It's just send a note to our magazine. We'll publish it.
Yeah. Okay.
Be great.
Janice, if I can think to bring it to the next meeting where we may be together, I'll try to bring it along and show it to you.
Okay, that would be good.
Excuse me, in the exhibit hall, I think there is an area, I'm not sure whether it's Maxi-Aids or the ID.
Someone has one because that's where I bought them.
Well, yeah, good.
They do have one.
Independent Living Age or LSNS?
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, somebody does.
Somebody has one?
At the convention in Alabama. I dropped it and I stepped on it and broke it. But I got another one. Our Industries for the Blind sells those products now, and I got another.
Good suggestion. Okay. Any other questions? All right, Madam Chairman, I think the program is yours.
I'll see you Wednesday and Thursday. Or one or the other, whichever you can make. You can also hold hand weights in your hand while you're doing your exercises in the water. When you're doing arm exercises, you can get hand weights, and we use them. I almost forgot about that. You know, like 1 pound, start with 1 pound. I'm up to 3 pound now that I hold in my hands when I'm doing them.
I do have one more question. When you are doing that kind of vigorous exercise, how do you maintain your orientation in space so that you aren't in somebody else's space?
Oh, well, you just... I don't stand still very well because while you're doing it, you're doing light jogging in the process. And so I end up occasionally... almost bumping into somebody, and they all know me, and they just say, "Move over."
Okay, well, thank you all for coming. It was a terrific program. I know I'm inspired. I've been thinking about getting back into exercise. I was doing it for a while, and I got lazy, so now I really want to get back into it. So I know I learned a lot. And I thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Oral. It's a great pleasure. I want to remind you all once again, I hope you will all either renew or join us. John Buckley is here, our esteemed treasurer. And also, if you didn't give your ticket to John, if you could see him with that too, that would be great. We're going to take about a 10-minute break to give everybody a chance to walk around, go to the bathroom, whatever. But we're going to start our business meeting. It's about 20 of now. I'd like to start, say, at 10 of 10. That would be great.
Yeah,
so we'll see you all back here in 10 minutes. Thank you.